You know, I joked just a minute ago about Eddie's shirt and the flames. But downstairs in Sunday school, if you were downstairs with Mike, they were reading a passage where Jesus was talking about that we need to fear God because there are real possibilities, right? Heaven and hell are real. And that I think when we hear that, one of the places our mind might go is we think about an individual, somebody we really care about, and we see them struggling in life, and we think, if only they could get it, right? And maybe for you it's a little brother or a cousin, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's an ex, I don't know, but I bet each one of us have somebody in our mind, and we've got this picture here, somebody maybe out in the ocean or something like that, raising up a hand, I think, maybe, but I want you to think in your mind about who's the person that burdens you the most, that you wish was in this room with you today and would take hold a new life with Jesus, like be set free. So think about a specific face. Don't think about who's maybe closest. Think about who your heart is burdened for the most. Then maybe you think, like, that would take a miracle. Because there's some people that know that they're in trouble. They know they need help, but they just want help to get their head above water. Like, they're not really wanting to come out of the ocean or come out of the lake or whatever it is. And as much as we start to think, oh, I need to go to that person and fix them or show them the right way, the passage we're going to read today, Jesus is going to talk to us. And it's not so much about hitting the person that's drowning over the head with how much they're drowning as showing them how good solid footing, solid land is supposed to be. And unfortunately, as Christians in this room here at Maywood and all over Independence and all over the world, we have a long way to go to show how good standing on solid ground together is supposed to be. And so we're going to read a prayer. And this is not Jesus' prayer for his immediate disciples. This is literally Jesus' prayer for Maywood Baptist, the Inglewood Assembly across the street, and Revive up the street, and the Christians in South Korea, and the Christians in Iraq, and all over the place, right? Everybody who believes in Jesus. Jesus prayed this for us. And of all the stuff Jesus could have prayed for, that we all have miraculous powers to heal blind people, or that we all memorized a book of the Bible, or we all, you know, he could have prayed for all sorts of stuff. Pay attention. This is what, before he died for us, this is the thing he said, God, please help him with this. This is the thing he wanted us to have the most, right? So if you have a Bible, please turn to John 17. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to grab one today and just take it with you. It's our gift from Maywood to you. If you find a Bible and no one grabs it back, it's yours, right? So you can get your hands on it, it's yours. And so John 17, verse 20, if you don't know how to get there, elbow your neighbor and they'll help you out, or look in the table of contents. But John 17, verse 20, and keep this open because we're going to come back here at the end of the sermon, but we're going to read through it right now. And as we're reading, I want you to realize, like, this is a prayer from Jesus to his heavenly Father. It's literally for us. And of all the stuff Jesus could have prayed for, this is what he prayed for. Starting at verse 20, Jesus talking here, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. We looked at last week about his immediate disciples right there with him. My prayer is not for just them. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, right? It's every Christian. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So he describes, he prays for us to have unity, to be united. And he defines that unity, the same unity that God the Father and Jesus the Son have. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I'm going to pause us for just a second here. We probably all thought about that person that came to your mind earlier and how to help them before. But if we don't treat each other in this room right, we're not helping that person that you were thinking about. If they look at us and see us gossiping about each other or getting hurt by each other and then just bristling up and being bitter, right? Let's keep on reading here. Verse 22. Jesus talking here says, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. There's a lot of goodness there, right? Jesus wants us. Sometimes we forget that. We get real down on ourselves. But Jesus wants you to be in the same room with him. He wants to be close to you. But their big theme here is unity amongst all Christians, right? And I want to take us to one verse in particular. I'm putting it up on the screen. I'm kind of highlighting it so we can break it down a little bit more. But this is verse 23 if you want to look at it in your own Bible. Jesus says, for us to have this unity, we're going to need to have Jesus in us. A lot of times we think of like Jesus in me, but the language he uses here is like Jesus in us as a group. Not that he doesn't have an individual relationship with us, but it is special to be together with other Christians, right? I in them, and then God the Father in Jesus. I think we've all, whatever your family situation is, however many family members you have, whatever your work situation is, whatever group of friends or gang or whatever you've ever been in, I think we've all learned, like, it's really hard to get even a group of small group of people to stick together, to be good to each other. And here, Jesus is saying, like, I need to be in them, and God the Father needs to be in them through me. So that's where the pink part comes in. Only when we've got God inside of us as a group can we be brought to complete unity. Complete unity. I mean, it's just like, it's weird. It's hard to really wrap our heads probably around what Jesus is talking about. Last week we talked about how God and Jesus give so freely to each other. I mean, imagine if we really had total unity with the churches just on this street, right? Much less in like Indonesia or somewhere else. And we're trying as a church, right? We do the trash cleanup and we're housing Generation Church here. Like, we're not doing nothing. But you start to think about like complete unity. It's hard to imagine, right? And when we start, with the other churches, we can still kind of keep pie in the sky, and wouldn't it be great if we did everything together? But when we really get down to it, I bet for each one of us in the room, if you've been coming here for very long, I bet you got somebody else at Maywood who fails what I would call the parking lot test. This is how I've described it. And that's when you pull into a parking lot, and somebody else's car is already there, and there's not a smile on your face. That car is there, right? Like, there's a little bit of like a sink in your heart. And you don't tell anybody that, and you try to put a good face on it, right? But the truth is, like, you have a hard time with that person. That's true of all of us, and I'm saying us, right? Earlier today, some people are talking about, like, oh, yeah, Jake is so great. And then, like, the truth is, like, Jake's the center like the rest of us, right? Like, we all are falling short of the unity that Jesus is talking about here, that we truly be one like he and God are one, that there be trust between us, that there be generosity between us, that there be honesty between us, that we only talk well about each other when the other person's not in the room, right? Because here's one of the many payoffs. If we as Christians have the sort of relationship that God wants us to have, it says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus wants to bring people together in such a way that other people will see it and just be like, "There's Christianity has to be true. These people have to be loved by God," right? Like, that's a big thing for the world to be convinced of. And it's the love that Christians have for each other that proves it to them. So, I want to talk us through something today, and we got a long way to go, but we also got to take steps to get there, right? And so I want to describe something, an opportunity we have at Maywood, and I've got this slide here for you of this tin can, and there's this little penny as well, if I can get it out. So here's the thing. Maywood has some different types of people in the room, right? Like, that's one of the strengths of Maywood. Like, Jerry's pointing over to Vicky, right? Like, I mean, there's some people that grew up in different sorts of neighborhoods. There's some people with a lot more tattoos than I have, right? Because I don't have any, I guess, but right. So, I mean, like, it's pretty easy, but like, there's a lot of stuff that's different, right? There's a lot of people that can bench their body weight, like, unlike me and stuff, you know? Like, I mean, so there's a lot of differences. But we got something good going, but it could be a lot better. I want to talk to us about it today, if you'll stick with me. This is kind of a deep thought, but stick with me on it. So some of us, I got this tin can here. It used to have, like, tomato paste in it or something. We just used it this week. Honestly, I think some of us would kind of maybe fit into this category of this thing is not very old, but in the world's eyes, it wasn't very valuable, and it was something to just, like, you know, cut apart, use up, and throw away. And we're not going to go around with the mic and raise hands. There's a lot of people in the room that feel like, yeah, like, that's the way the world's treated me. I wasn't seen as valuable. They used me up and they threw me away. So we got this. You can hardly see this, I'm sure. Even on the screen, you probably can't see it very well. It's just a penny, but it is from 1919, and things were done a lot differently in 1919 than 2023. So way back in 1919, the government thought, like, we'll make pennies out of copper, right? Like, I mean, like, that's the way the world worked in 1919. things were different, right? So that thing's almost totally made of copper. Like, it's almost pure copper, which, yeah, like, the world doesn't work that way anymore, right? There's some people at Maywood who have been around and seen the world go through a lot of those sorts of changes. Of, like, they remember being part of an era where things were done with quality without even really thinking about it, that now just seem like a dream or ridiculous almost, like, just so different, right? But also, you look at this penny, like, it's been through some things, right? Like, it doesn't look brand new either, right? Like, it's been through some wear and tear. It's had some hard knocks of some sort, right? And right now, it sounds kind of cool, right? Like, ooh, a penny from 1919, and it's made of copper. But the reality is, if you guys got that as change yesterday, you wouldn't have even noticed it, right? and it is precious in a way, and certainly like better than a lot of things we could get today. It's easy in the world's eyes to overlook it, right? So here's the thing I want to talk about with these two things, though, is while the world would not put tons of value on either one of these objects, I think God has brought two types of people primarily to Maywood so far. And I don't think this is the fullness of John 17, because there's a lot more types of people in the world, okay? But let's start with where we're at. We got types of people like this. So here's what we have at Maywood so far. Unlike a lot of just all over our culture, I shouldn't just throw out churches, most places in the world don't look like Maywood Baptist Church. Most places in the world, everybody looks pretty much the same. Everybody's within an age range. Everyone has the same education. Everyone makes roughly the same amount of money. When they hang out on the weekends, if you go to anything, it's kind of the same sorts of folks most of the time, right? So here at Maywood, it's pretty cool that you got two different types of people together, right? And like you can like make some noise and it gets people's attention, right? Like the two are together, right? And we can feel good about it. I feel good about it, honestly. I'm glad we're at this spot and not just all tin cans or all copper pennies, right? I think we've had glimpses of what I'm about to talk about, but I think we haven't really had John 17 with these two pieces. Because here's the truth, is in my hands, not being like a metal worker, this tin can and this copper coin are going to stay tin and copper, right? If I go to my backyard and throw in my little fire pit, it's not going to change, right? I don't really know what I'm doing. And that's really not hot enough of a fire. But we go to this next little slide here. I have a feeling this has to do with steel, but we can imagine it, right? If you actually melt down this tin can and this copper coin, you're going to get something different, right? They're alloys of each other, and they can augment each other if you put them in the right ratios, right? And their ratios are probably off for that. But if you get something that's about 90% copper and about 10% tin, it becomes bronze, which set off this whole revolution in the world, obviously like thousands of years ago. But it's because bronze is like way stronger than copper or tin, and it's able to be made way sharper. It's like a lot more useful. If you get a guy, the other day I was making some fancy coffee for somebody who's in the room, and they're like, this reminds me a lot of cooking meth, to be honest. Like when, and I was like, I had never, Eric's waving his hand. There you go. It was Eric Gossi. So, that thought had never entered my mind, right? Like I just had never realized that when I saw all this coffee equipment. It's good for different sorts of people to be brought together. When the world sees different sorts of people hanging out together, it draws them in. But most of us don't want to go through some sort of furnace and change and be really bonded into one. And so when things get hard, it's easy to jump to another place. When things get hard, it's easy to just kind of stay on the surface and not really go deep with somebody else. It's hard to apologize when you've done something wrong, right? It's hard to keep having hope, even though you feel like they've done something wrong. And maybe in the truth of it is like you've misinterpreted something, right? It's real easy to be brittle and easy to break, right? The truth is, most people that get really bonded together, they get forced to go through some stuff together. And because they're forced to go through some stuff together, they do kind of melt together, right? Even like siblings who think like, oh, we're so strong, we're brothers. Well, like if you had given them the freedom to actually leave each other when they were 6 years old, like they would have, right? Like my kids just the other day, my Samuel said like, I'll never play with you again. That was like yesterday at like 9:15 in the morning to Sequoia, right? Within minutes, he was trying to play with her again, right? But if he was 45 and had that much like of a thought, he could easily just take off, right? Siblings get so close because they get stuck together And so then they bond. But the way church works in our society, like, it's easy to not be stuck together. It's easy to not let the temperature get up so hot that God changes you. Because when you're making bronze, it's not just the copper that melts. It's not just the tin that melts. Like, they have to melt together, right? And a lot of us are willing for the other person to change, right? Like, we can see all the ways they need to change. I can fall into that too, right? It's harder to walk in it ourselves, right? And to be flexible and to say, I'm going to let God make me new through this hard thing. And instead of saying, like, how can I get to the happiest life possible, if we got to, like, a how can I be who Jesus wants me to be? Because when we see in John 17, like, Jesus wants us to be together. He wants us to be unified. So, where do we even get started on that? Like, what do we even do? Well, I got two thoughts for us on that. One is this first one, these hands. Jesus prayed about it. Jesus asked God to do it. And some of us are really wondering, like, Jesus, what do you want for my life? What's your will for me? One of the things that's Jesus' will for you is for you to be united with other Christians. Like, you know it. We just read it. Like, Jesus' hopes and dreams for Rick, it's that Rick would be united to other Christians, right? Same for Julian, right? Like, this is part of Jesus' hope for you guys, for Jen, for everybody in the room, right? For Daniel up in the balcony. Like, for us to be united, knit together, bonded together to where nothing can rip us apart. Because Jesus is inside of us, right? It's not that we just all get crazy and do whatever one of us says. It's that if we are all following Jesus together and we stay together when it gets hard, then Jesus will bond us to each other, right? So I want to give you a quick, maybe I'm going to get us out of here by noon. Okay, so don't. Stick with me, okay? But I'm going to jump to another picture. I have some pictures at the end, Nick. I wasn't sure I was going to get to you. There's a picture of me and a guy in Mexico, Peluche. We're, like, doing some construction stuff. This is one of my closest relationships I've ever had in my whole life. His real name's Edgar, but we all call him Peluche. And Peluche is a close friend. And not everybody Jesus wants to unite us to, I think, is going to just be our best friend. Like, some of us are going to be pretty... We're supposed to be a whole big family together, right? But here's some things that happened that if you're looking to grow in this, if you're saying, like, I want to be more the woman or the man or the kid that God wants me to be, then here's some tips on how Peluche and I got really bonded to where I started to see Peluche and I were really different, had very different gift sets, very different backgrounds. Peluche was a drug dealer when he was a little kid and almost no education. He's living in this little town in Mexico. But we got super tight. And here's some tips on, like, how did that work out? And maybe some tips for you guys if you want to get started on it. One thing I'll say about Peluche and I is we both loved Jesus. And we both had a group of people in the town we were living in that we wanted to help. Like, we saw some people in need. And so even though we had really different backgrounds, Peluche and I have super different personalities, we started showing up at the same sort of, like, service things because we cared about Jesus and we wanted to help the same types of people. So if you're saying, like, man, I'm not really, really close to anybody at Maywood. Like, maybe you feel like nobody at Maywood really is bonded to you and will never leave. Maybe you feel like nobody at Maywood fully knows you. I'd say keep your radar up for who's somebody else who loves Jesus and is pulled in the same direction as you. Like, has a passion to help somebody else in the same direction as you. Why do I say that's important? Because we're beginners at this sort of unity stuff. Like, I don't have it figured out. I don't think anybody on earth probably has it totally figured out yet. But if you will find somebody who loves Jesus, that means Jesus is working on them too. And if they care about the same thing you care about enough to suffer for it, then you got a potential to stick around long enough, right?
So if you got somebody else who's really into like sponsoring guys that are new in their recovery, like you guys start doing that together, like that could bond you. If you have somebody else that's really passionate about the homeless and serving them where they're at, like then that could bond you as you do it together. If you got somebody else who's really passionate about making things beautiful for Jesus, like that could bond you together, right? There's all sorts of different things to be passionate about within the kingdom of God. But when you find somebody else who cares about the same people you care about, then you can go through some things together. So what this would look like is I was put in some spots where I was really uncomfortable, where I got really humbled, and where I had to ask Paluche for help. And if you really want to get close to somebody, you can start saying to Jesus, like, Jesus, I want to be close to this other person. Help me to have the courage to ask them for help. And you're going to start to realize that God's going to show up when you trust that other person. And when you start working together and trusting the other person, it's going to grow and grow and grow. And whereas a lot of us would be like, oh, man, okay, I'm kind of excited about this. I might forget about it after the Chiefs games, but if I remember, can I get it done by like Tuesday afternoon, right? Can I just have a great close friendship that'll never leave me and a bonded community with people that are all different races and different nationalities than me? Like, it's just, it's not going to happen, right? Like, our relationships are going to change slowly because that's how deep relationships go, right? But if you will show up with the same sort of people, even when things get hard, and you'll do something together that's worth suffering for, like Jesus will bond you, right? Like Jesus will be working at it too. So the last thing I want to leave us with, we're going to go back to John 17. And I want to pray this over you to give you guys some hope. Because there's a relationship that Jesus wants to be closer for you with some other Christians. And I want you to know that, like, you're not in it by yourself. Like, Jesus is going to be working for the same thing. And so I'm going to pray this prayer over you. It's not because I'm Jesus, but I want to be, by his grace, a voice for him right now, because he is praying this for us. He wants this for us. If you're here today and you're like, man, I really want somebody like that 10 in my life. Like, you can take that with you if you want. If you are like, man, I really want some old school person like this Penny in my life. Like, take it and start praying about it, right? Like, put this little reminder in your life and start asking for the same sort of stuff Jesus is asking for you. Like, Jesus wants this for you. So if you guys will bow your heads, I want to pray Jesus' words over our church today. I pray for Maywood Baptist and all the Christians in Independence and beyond, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus, we pray your words, and we put our hope in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.